staying with is so cute. Sarah, she walking from the car the other day back to her condo, and she said she has this really great New York accent. As I told you, she was born in Puerto Rico, raised in Brooklyn, New York. She goes, Ma, is it okay to say the word hallelujah? I think she suspects now that everything she learned about God has been wrong. And so she instantly thought, there's got to be something wrong with this. And there is. Anytime you see the word hallelujah in Scripture, it does mean praise be Yah. It's a great phrase, but however, it's always uttered in times of great judgment, always uttered by the agents of the judgment, and in many cases, those are celestial beings. Celestial beings are assigned, namely cherubs. Cherubs are dangerous. They're not the cute little babies you see on postage stamps. If you see a cherub and it's saying hallelujah, duck. Get the heck out of the way, because bad things are about to occur. And we're going to see judgment executed upon Nebuchadnezzar and his pride. And we're going to be like going back in history a little bit. We're going to be seeing this destruction, this humiliation prophesied. And then there's a 12-month period from the time the prophecy was given to Nebuchadnezzar through the interpretation of the dream by Daniel to him, Daniel Belshazzar, and the 12-month period. So Nebuchadnezzar had time then to forget about it. Isn't that something? God gives a prophecy. He gives a promise, and then time passes, and then people forget it. People get this sense of complacency and lethargy, and they forget the God of the heavens, even though they're warned. And that's why history always repeats itself. We never learn, because when it first happens, you learn. For instance, 9/11, we're attacked by militant Islamic forces, and we're humbled. And you see Congress and the House of Representatives, they come together on the steps of the Capitol building, and they're singing, God bless America, and everything's wonderful and peachy keen. And then 2 days later, the infighting starts all over again, time passes, we forget we have enemies, and so it goes. And so it goes. And you don't think it could be possible for this to keep happening. But again, we learn by repetition. So back to Nebuchadnezzar. And again, my plan here is to finish up with the judgment section, the prophecy judgment section of this week. Welcome to Friday, everybody. I'm Martin Zender, in case you didn't know. And then Monday, we're going to talk about our time in exile. Love the wording here. Listen to this. Daniel 4, verse 13. Perceiving am I in the visions of my head, on my bed. This is Daniel speaking. And lo, a holy rouser. Ooh, I love this. This is another title, I think, of a celestial being, a dignitary, an angel. You know, they all have titles. Some are called sovereignties. Some are called authorities. Some are called world mights. Those are the big boys. We read this in Ephesians. Then you have Elohim. They might all be Elohim. That might be the umbrella. But then you have the cherubim. What are they? Cute babies in diapers and dimples. No, they're destructive forces. They're messengers of doom and destruction. Now we have a rouser. I'm dead serious about this. I love getting little, you have to wring whatever detail you can out of this very, very interesting celestial world. Because this is where we're going. This is where our realm is inherent. I want to know all about it. There's precious little here. So when I see another title, I'm excited. A rouser. What is their job? We're going to see what their job is. You might suspect it's to rouse. I'll give you a clue. You're right. They are rabble rousers. They rouse the rabble. A holy rouser, not just any rouser. A holy rouser is alighting from the heavens. He is calling with potency. Again, the beauty of a literal translation. He's calling with potency. Who's calling? You know, somebody comes to your door. Fred, who's calling? Well, it's a rouser, and he's calling with potency. In other words, something big's about to happen here. And this is what he is saying. Quote, the rouser. Slash down the oak, cut away its boughs. The oak tree we just spoke of yesterday, the great Nebuchadnezzar and his government. Shake off its leaves. Remember, that was the greatness. The leaves brought peace and comfort. The bough, or the trunk, was the provision. That was visible, great, tall trunk, visible to every inhabitant of the planet. Scatter its pollinated fruit. Wander shall the animals from under it and the birds from its boughs, but the stamp with its root leave in the earth. This is specific to Nebuchadnezzar. The stump and its roots leave in the earth. That is, Nebuchadnezzar was going to be restored. That's what this prophecy is about. We're quoting the rouser now through the medium of Daniel. This is where the kingdom we're going to be looking at soon is different, because it's not going to be restored. Clamp it with a band of iron and copper in the verdure of the fold, with the night mist of the heavens shall he be streaked. The verdure of the field, the night mist of heaven shall he be streaked. Now we go from a bough, we go from a tree, we go from leaves to a personification. Will he be streaked? Now we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. And we're also talking about the coming world leader. Again, transpose all this. Bring it to modern times. I'm giving you permission, because that's why this is here, to help us in this day. With the animals shall be his portion, the herbage of the earth. His heart shall alter from a mortal's. The heart of an animal shall be granted to him. Now this is Daniel's explanation. And seeing that the king, verse 23, Daniel 4, and seeing that the king perceived the holy rouser alighting from the heavens and saying, slash down the oak and harm it, but the stump with its roots leave in the earth, clamped with a band of iron and copper, in the verdure of the field, with the night mist of the heavens shall he be streaked, with the animals of the field shall be his portion, till seven seasons shall pass over him. Seven seasons, interesting. Seasons here are probably years. And I believe Nebuchadnezzar was given a spirit of insanity for 7 years. Well, what do you know? The days of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, is a time period of 7 years. The final heptads of 490 periods of 7 years are given to God's people to fulfill the prophecies concerning the coming kingdom. Now, the judgment that fell on Nebuchadnezzar came from above. And the judgment that's going to come to this earth also came from above, will come from above. There's going to be no questioning in it. There's not going to be something like, well, do we have some bad weather patterns now? Or it's not going to be anything like, well, you know, an earthly army overcame this kingdom. You might have been tempted to think that. If Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was directly destroyed by humans, if another party came in prior to the Medes and the Persians, and you think, well, okay, you can keep God out of the picture then. But again, we're seeing insight here that when the judgment does come, there's going to be no question that it's God's hand. That's going to be the scariest thing of all, when you realize that a spiritual being is doing this, and spiritual beings are going to be utilized in the days of indignation to come, where there'll be no mistaking it. It's going to be a divine judgment. Now, concerning this name given to this supernatural being, a rouser, this is kind of humorous, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be pronouncing this guy's name right. Theodotion, he was one of the translators of the Septuagint. The Septuagint was the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures. He saw this Hebrew word, ir. What is this? He couldn't make heads or tails of how to translate it. The King James put watchers, a watcher. God's going to send a watcher. But that's the king. That doesn't make sense, because watch is part of a different Hebrew stem, namely, that's my pronouncement of T TZPF. That's the Hebrew stem. Pronounce that. Tzb. But tzb isn't what's here. Is here. It's not tzb. So what are you going to do? Well, Theodotion, if that's how you pronounce his name, if it's not, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry to your relations alive today. He just transliterated. He put "er." I love it. That you gotta love that. You see the word "er," the Hebrew word "er." What the heck's that? I don't know what it is. I'm just gonna transliterate it. I'm just gonna put "er." Got "er." Hey, I don't know what it is. It's an "er." Concordant translates it a rouser. I like that because it describes the work that these beings do. Now, I'm going to quote from A. Enoch. By the way, this book is available at studyshelf.com. I'm getting these lessons from Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel, which I'm showing you on the ZenderCam, if you're fortunate enough to be watching me on video right now. See that? Look, I make notes in here. I'm not making any of this stuff up. This is a great book. To me, it's the book written on the Book of Daniel. So why invent the wheel? And so I'm going to quote from A. Enoch here. This is really good. Concerning King Nebuchadnezzar. And again, this is a prophecy concerning what's going to happen with the man of lawlessness, who is probably alive right now. A. Enoch, quote, "It seems that Nebuchadnezzar had fallen into a self-complacent, self-satisfied, somnolent condition." Sleepy, somnolent. "Everything's fine. Resting on my laurels. Inflated by his own greatness." I think they have a pill for that. Oh, not talking about digestive problems here. Right, okay. "Inflated by his own greatness, utterly oblivious to God's supremacy." Utterly oblivious to God's supremacy. I'm going to end this week this way. I'm going to finish the quote Monday, if I remember. I just can't get past this. Utterly oblivious to God's supremacy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the disease of our era. Even Christians are utterly oblivious to God's supremacy. Why? Because they think that 8 billion human beings have a free will. They don't think that God is running everything. They say he is, but he's not. It's a Hollywood wall. It's a lie. They are completely oblivious to God's supremacy, that he is operating all things, Ephesians 1:11, in accord with the counsel of his own will. And because of that, they're oblivious of the judgment to come. They either don't think he can do it or they don't think he will do it because they simply don't believe his words. They hear it through the filters of their religion. They heap up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires. And because of that, they, Christianity, wholesale, is going to be taken unawares by the coming day of indignation, by the coming government, the proclaimed government of peace and provision. They are going to fall for it wholesale. Christianity will, mark my words, they are going to not only be the perpetrators of it, but they're going to fall in line for it. There's going to be the leaders among Christendom. They're going to be in the workings of it. They're going to be administrators of it. And the rank and file are going to fall down in front of it and say, this is the greatest thing going. It's going to have Christ's name on it. It's going to have the cross of Christ on it. And anybody who says that this is deception is going to be labeled a heretic. Labeled a heretic. That's how deceiving it's going to be. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.